minutes here while I get set up. Just a few things I gotta get done here really quickly. While I'm doing that, he's gonna pass out some handouts here. Make sure I get this microphone set on correctly. I'm not sure this is right.
Oh, can you guys hear me? Okay, excellent. Excellent, looks like that should work. Let me set this here. And put a few things in place. Little details as I walk through this. Okay, and then I think he will switch it to the sermon here in just a minute here. So I'm not the normal preacher. Kevin is out traveling, getting his daughter Kaylin on to college, and I think the Powells are traveling to get their son out to college, and I think later this week we'll be traveling to get our son off to college, so a lot of transitions going on. So I wanted to take some time today to talk on a message about discipleship and denying ourselves. But first of all, I want to make sure we just give thanks to God. And so I'd like to start off with a word of prayer and just really to give him honor in all these things. Holy Father, Lord, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share your words. I pray that you would guide my words, Lord, guide my thoughts, guide the hearts that are listening, Lord, and help us to be receptive, to be obedient to your will with all that you would ask us do. There are so many things in this life, Lord, that can draw our attention away. And I pray as we get into this lesson, Lord, it will draw our hearts closer to you. And Lord, just guide us all the more and energize us all the more with what your will is for our lives. Just lead us now, Lord, we ask, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I want to say a special thank you to my wife and kids. They've been enduring with me this week while I lock myself in a corner and try to work through the lesson, so I'd really appreciate all the help that they've given me this week. And as we get into this lesson on denying oneself, there's a little story I'd read, and many of you have heard some of this before, the idea of everybody knew what anybody could do, that somebody should do, that nobody did. And in this lesson, one of the stories I heard is this preacher got up front talking about this, you know, everybody, anybody, somebody, nobody, and said, nobody's left, so that means all of you got to do the work now, if you follow that. The idea that there is work to be done and the nobody is left, so that means, or anybody is left, right, that could have done it, right, that nobody did, nobody left, and nobody was the only one doing the work. There's another thought that kind of came with that as I was thinking this week, and this is just a little side story I read online as well that seemed to hit close to home for me, and it may hit close to home for you as well. But it talked about the minister, and he'd been up front doing this great message about involvement and body involvement, and then he got to the door at the end after the lesson, and people were talking how good a message it was, oh, great message and all that. And he catches this one guy who's coming up to leaving, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, great, great message. And the minister was like, okay, so when can we get together this week? We're talking about involvement. When can we get together this week? How about Monday, Tuesday? And say, oh, well, you know, I got work stuff. I got family commitments. I got all this other stuff going on. I got to be for the kids' games. And I got, you know, this other. Oh, okay, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. How about Thursday or Friday? Well, you know, I got this other thing going on and all these other things in my life. And it's like, okay, so how about Saturday? Saturday, right? Well, Saturday I got to work in the yard. And he said, oh, and, you know, I've already promised my wife I'm going to spend time with her on that afternoon. And Benster's kind of thinking, oh, okay. And about that time, the wife comes up and says, oh, it's a great message right now. You're going to have to really make sure you get with my husband because I'm going to be gone this weekend now. It's like, wait a minute. What's going on, right? It's interesting how there's a scripture in Proverbs that talks about, so as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And it goes on to say, sometimes we'll say things that we don't really mean. We'll say it, but we don't really follow through because their heart is really not with you, right? Proverbs, I think it's 14:27, 13:27. I have to look that up a little later. But I was looking at it this morning, and I sent it out to a text to some of you, because it's, what do we really believe? What's in our heart about really following Jesus? And that's what we're going to get into here with the lesson. I'm trying to think if it's on the screen here or not, if it's going to click over. Okay, so maybe if I flick it, seems like I'm not moving it right. It is up there? Okay, so I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Okay, so on denying oneself, thank you for pointing that out to me. I was looking at the wrong screen here. So the message we're going to be talking about is denying oneself. And then the sheets that were just passed out, the first bullet on your sheet, the first step to come after Jesus is that we have to deny ourselves, right? Luke 9:23, then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Notice that deny himself is the first thing he mentions, and take up his cross and follow me. So the first thing we've got to figure out how to do is, how do we deny ourselves? And to get there, you got to notice that he says, if anyone would come after me, would come. Now that word in the Greek is thetel, and it actually carries with it the idea, whoops, I wouldn't mess this up right off the bat. We'll try this again. So that word thetel, if you really get into it, means would come, implies a desire to come after someone. All right, so that means you've decided that you're going to do something, right? The word literally means to will, to intend, to have in mind that I'm determined I'm going to do this. I've resolved in my mind that I want to come after Jesus. So Jesus starts this message off with, if you've determined you're going to come after me, if you've determined, you've set your mind, then you're going to need to deny yourself. My question to all of us, are we determined to come after Jesus or not? Because if we're not determined, we're not going to deny ourselves. Now, I'd like to think all of us here, we've determined, we've set in our mind that we want to come after Jesus. That's why we come here, right? We've determined that we want to come after Jesus. So if that's true, then he's telling us we've got to deny ourselves. We've got to deny ourselves. Now, I'm going to take this text a little differently than maybe what has been preached before or some have thought about, because I think it comes back to that scripture about, so as a man thinks in his heart, what are we thinking? And we've got to deny some thoughts that the world has put into our minds about the way we should be. And that's what we're going to dig into here. So as we get on in this text a little further, he goes on and says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake or for me will save it. So he builds off of this idea of denying himself. If we've resolved we need to deny ourselves, and then you say, who wants to deny himself? I don't think a lot of people will throw up their hand, right? I don't want to deny myself. I want to follow you, Jesus, but deny myself? What are you talking about? So when we come here to services, what are we usually thinking of? Many, and this will be on your sheet, question two on your sheet, what do people choose to follow, right? Many people follow Christianity. And why do we follow Christianity? And this is just my thoughts from what it's what my parents did, because this is what I've seen done before. You go through the motions, you come, you attend, and then you go. Right? There's no denial in that. I just kind of come. Maybe I deny that 1 hour a week, but that's all I'm doing, right? That's why I come. That's what I was taught. That's all I need to do. Or maybe we come just to fit in. Man, I don't fit in the world, man. They're just so crazy out there. At least here, people are nice and friendly. This is where I want to be. Or maybe we want a social club even. Man, we can talk about the game here, right? We have sports in common. We've got these other things in common. And it becomes a nice social club. It's like, why are we here? And for some of us, maybe we're just saying we want to be comfortable. you know, I just want to be comfortable. I know about all this stuff, and I used to be involved in that, but I don't want to do that now. I mean, I did when I was a child, and I was really involved in a bunch of stuff, but now I'm older. Yeah, I just want to be comfortable and come and settle in. Are we really paying attention to what Jesus is calling us to do? And each of us has to reflect in our own lives, what is Jesus calling us to do when he says, deny himself? So why would you want to deny yourself? He says, if you want to come after me, you got to deny yourself. Why? There's got to be a reason, right? Why do I have to deny myself? Really, that's hard. That's tough. Jesus asks this next point in his question 3 on your sheet, but he tells us in the text to save your life. If you really want to save your life, you're going to need to deny yourself. And this is not something that the world teaches. It's not something that you hear all the time, right? All the communications about, oh, you need to take care of you. You need to do this. You need to go and buy this thing. You need to do this thing. You need to take care of yourself. You need all of this for you. And Jesus is trying to tell us the only way to truly save your life is you've got to deny yourself. Jesus adds to it about saving your life in John 10, 9 and 10. Is one of the scriptures I always love, where he says, I came that you might have life, but not just life, not any life. I want you to have an abundant life. I want your life to be so full and blessed that you don't even know what to do with it all. But it always comes back to denying ourselves. Denying ourselves, it's question 3 in your sheet, right? To save our life, we've got to deny ourselves. And then question 4, it's got to be more abundantly. So we're going to deal with the next section 5 on these things that are the thinkings of the world about how to have life. When Christ says, here's how you have life. You got to deny yourself. But if you ask anyone in the world, what are they going to say? How do you have life? Might have this thought, right? The treasures of the earth. Here's life. Diamonds, gold. Build these factories. Get all this money. Have this great career and you are set. That's life, right? That's what the world tells us. This is what life is all about. It's the treasures of the earth. There's a friend of mine, several actually in work, that were telling me about this session they had with managers, directors. They had come together and they were talking about things that they had done. And they had this session that talked about, you know, you really need to have this joy in life. And it was a different class that they had been to. And I was talking to him after, and he said, you know, I came away from that session feeling almost empty. And I was like, well, why is that? He's like, well, you know, I put so much into work and so much into getting, quote, up the ladder. And then he starts talking about all these things of joy and things in this class, and it just seemed like I didn't have that because I had been so busy climbing the ladder, so busy on getting more money, so busy on trying to get to that next level. I thought that was my life. And now that I'm about ready to retire and taking a step back, it seems like, why did I do all that? I mean, these are director levels, vice president, these are senior managers, and they're kind of going, wait a minute, why did I go after all these things? Because that's what the world says is life, right? You get money, you get all these things, you'll be great. Jesus really kind of deals with this and responds back with this message of, what shall it profit a man? All right, the very next verse in Luke 23:24 and Mark 8:36 here, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul. If we go after all these things thinking that's life, and then we come to the end of it, and you're going, is that really what it's about? Solomon talked a lot about that, right? All these things that I have gotten, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Vanity of vanity. I've done all these things. I've gotten all these treasures. I've done all I wanted to fill my life with, and it's vanity. Because that is not where life is. But the world wants us to think that way. The world wants us to think that this is where life is. And there's nothing wrong with things. You can use things greatly for the Lord, and we'll talk about that a little later. But when you start thinking the things is where your life is, there's a friend of mine at work, and this hurts me to even think about, who actually was fairly religious as well, but I remember him telling me he was all set with his plan for retirement. He had done well with his job and some investments. He got just gotten this title at work that meant he would have to never work a day in his life again. It was one of these special titles that you get after working so many, 30, 40 years, and he had all these patents. And he was so excited and looking forward to the next year to retiring. And he was just so excited about it. And then he came in one day and found out that he had been diagnosed with cancer. All right, and it's a true story. It was like January, February, we were talking, and he was like, he couldn't imagine what was going on. He's like, man, I had everything all planned out. He's like, and I have a faith in God, but he's like, I thought I had it all planned out. I had everything. I was all set to retire. And they were telling that he only had a couple of months to live. And he was kind of like me, same size, fit, energy. He was like, he'd eaten right. He'd taken care of himself. He'd exercised. He'd done everything right. And he's like, what happened? 2 months later, he had died. Went to his funeral. And again, a person that had a fairly, as the world would say at a minimum, a good faith in God. And I would say, man, he was dry. He was really striving. And he had fallen away for a while and come back to the church he was in and all that. But I just remember the tears in his heart when he was talking about how he thought he had it all planned out. And then everything changed. It's like this life that we're going after, if we're not following the plan Jesus has and we're believing the world, we're going to go after these possessions. And Jesus says in Luke 12, take care and beware of every form of greed. For even a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Everything that we have can be used for God. But at the end of the day, these are not the things that bring us life. And so the first part on your sheet here, what are the things we've got to deny? We've got to deny this thinking that the world has for us, that life is in our possessions. Because life is not in our possessions. Even when we come into church, sometimes we think, oh, it's about how much I have, though. I've got all this stuff. And we think that's our life, when it's not. We've got to deny that kind of thinking that says it's all about the things I've got and how much I got, and that's what allows me to be happy. When we start to deny ourselves, we'll start learning what it truly means to have the joy that Jesus wants us to have. So the first thing, life's not in our possessions. The second thing that gets in our way a lot of times, and this is one that it's just the pridefulness that we have and the nature that we have, I guess, is we love to compare ourselves to somebody else, right? Well, you talk about kids and things getting together. Man, I'm stronger than you are. Oh, yeah, I can do this better. Oh, well, maybe girls, I'm prettier than you are. I've got this thing. You don't have this, right? We love to compare to make ourselves feel better. There's an example where Jesus deals with the disciples later in Luke chapter 9, verse 48, 46 through 48 there. And the disciples are arguing over who's the greatest. Who's the greatest? You know I'm the most important one. Oh, come on, man. You know I am. Oh, no, I am. Man, you know how much knowledge I have here? Oh, man, you know how much money I got here? Well, it's like we want to compare all the time. Well, I got this bigger house. Well, I've got this. And we might not say it, but in the back of our mind, we'll say, okay, so what you got? Oh, what do you got? And sometimes we think just by being better than someone else that we got it okay or that we're good enough. It's a mindset that gets into that comparison to one another. And Jesus responds to it in that very same passage and says, whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me, for it is the one who is least among you who is also the greatest. So who's the greatest? The one who's the least. The one who's willing to reach out to the children and serve those that are in need. The ones who are serving more so than the ones who are trying to look at me and look how much I know, or look how much I have. The second part that really comes out with this message that I think we've got to change our mindset on is our thinking around, I'm okay because I'm better than the next person. Life is not about being greater than others. That's the second point on your sheet in number 5. Life is not about comparing ourselves to someone else and thinking, man, I got life. I'm better than they are. There's always somebody worse than you are, so I'm okay. I think I've even heard people say it sometimes. Well, you know you're at least better than this person. Is that how we decide if we have life or not because I'm better than the next person next to me? Jesus wants us to look down deep and deny all of these things and look to him. Not at the next person and how this person versus me. Look at yourself. We got to look at our own hearts. The third point, which is probably one of the most difficult ones for us, I think, for me, for any that have families. Jesus deals with it in Luke chapter 14. And in this text, he says, if anyone comes to me, one of the hardest texts, and does not hate, and yes, he uses the word hate, his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters. Wait a minute, Jesus. Hate father and mother. 10 commandments, right? Love your father and mother. First commandment with a promise there. It's like, man, clearly, Jesus, you must have missed something, right? But he says, hate his own father and mother. You notice this ties off of the idea of a biblical family. And this is one of those things that is so challenging because Jesus is trying to help us understand that life is not in our family. He says, whoa, wait a minute. Are you serious? Because some people build everything around our families. Sometimes we build everything around our families. Right? That's what we're coming. It's all about our family. And something happens to your family member, your wife or your mom, and your faith suddenly shatters because you've put so much faith in those family members that you love so dearly. And Jesus is trying to help us to avoid that. This next slide gets the idea across is that we love others best when we love God most. If we will truly put God first, then we're going to love our families the way God intended for us to love them. And we'll be doing what's truly best for them. And sometimes we almost have to hate what our families are doing to us, in that they are not in a sense of hate, like, oh man, I want to go and beat up on them or anything, but because they pull us away from our focus on God sometimes. Not intentionally. We're so busy taking care of each other, dealing with each other, that sometimes we forget the reason we're doing that is because of our love of God. We got to be driven by that love of God first if we're truly going to love our families the way God wants us to. Our families may be doing things wrong and, oh, well, you know, that's okay, you're my family. Are we trying to help them to move closer to the Lord? If God calls us to do something, are we willing to follow it, even if our families are saying no? When I first became a Christian, I think I've shared this before, but when I first became a Christian, and I was at college, and I was talking to my brother, and actually it was right before I decided to become a Christian. I was becoming a disciple, if you will. I was starting to follow, and I told him I was going to make this decision to become a Christian, and he looked at me and said, you're crazy. Why are you there at school? You're there to learn. You're not about, you know, you can do that later. Don't worry about trying to learn about God now. You can do that later. You're going to be crazy if you're doing that. tell him I was going to the Bible study during the week and I was going to go to this other devotional thing. And he was like, you're being crazy. You're going to waste your time at college because you're trying to get involved in this religious thing. And I had a real conflict with my brother over that. Fast forward 20, 30 years later, and you know, my brother actually told me he appreciated me doing that. He's gotten much more involved in a church as well, but it's like, at the time, and he told me, he's like, well, you know, we all have to grow. And that was one of those times when we had a huge conflict because we couldn't see eye to eye. And I love my brother. But sometimes those conflicts are going to come when God calls us to do something, and our family may not see it that way, but we've got to try to do what's best to God first and to love them still, right? Because the message here, we love others best when we love God most. Some of us have heard the acronym JOY. There's this acronym, Jesus first, others second, yourself third. That's really where joy is, and that's part of discipleship. We can't let our families even become first in our lives. We have to deny that thinking that the world puts in our mind, the third item on your sheet there, that our families are going to give us life, because they can't. And then the last one, which is the last one that Jesus mentioned in the list in Luke 14 there, deals with this guy right here. We've got to get this mindset that we understand that self is not where life is. Self is not where life is. There is a plaque at the Ronald Reagan Museum out in California my wife and I went to, and at the bottom of it he had, well, I just know that people are just inherently good. I just believe they're inherently good. And I remember thinking about that people are inherently good. And I reflected on things that Jesus has said. In Luke chapter 11, he says, and you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Wait a minute, but people are inherently good, right? We're naturally good. And why does Jesus say that we, being evil, even being evil in our selfishness and who we are, know how to give good gifts. But that doesn't make us good. That doesn't mean we have life in ourselves. And yet the world would want us to think that. Jesus says, or Peter says here, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against the soul. There are so many things. So many things that pull at us in this world. Sinful desires, some of them are blatantly sinful. That the world will tell you, well, that's how you have a good time. That's how you have life. If you're in college, someone will say, oh, yeah, come out and party with us. You're going to have life. And then some things are more subtle. Just come and hang out. Well, let's just have a good time together. We don't have to do anything sinful. We're just going to hang out together and just have fun together. And you think that's where life is. We're just going to hang out together. That's it. Nothing sinful per se, but that's what our focus is going to be, so we can just have fun. And we start to think that life is just indulging ourselves. And again, there's extremes on either side, right? There's the extremes of the things that are blatantly sinful, from drunkenness, lust of the flesh. But then there are the things that are just, I just want me time all the time. There's nothing wrong with having time away, but when that becomes your primary focus, to where you think your life is just you having fun, that's what the world will tell us. Just think of yourself. Paul actually says, if you live according to, and this is a great lead into what Brother Rambo is going to be teaching on, right? If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Does that sound so different than what Jesus said? But if by the Spirit you are put into death, the misdeeds of the flesh, you can live. The class that we're going to be doing on Wednesday night, I pray many of you, if you can come out for it, please do. It'll be a great discussion time as we talk about the Spirit and the role of the Spirit in our lives and how crucial that is if we're going to be denying ourselves. We've got to get to the point that we understand that denying ourselves is the reality of really following Jesus. So in summary, what are those that thinking, and I'm talking about our thinking here now, thinking that life is in our possessions, that life is about being better than the next guy, good enough, that thinking that life is in our family, or that thinking that life is in our fleshly desires, just taking care of me. Those are the things we've got to get behind us and move on to. What does it take then? The next bullet in sheet 6, what's required of us to deny these things? These are hard, but it's part of denying ourselves, right? Discipline, sacrifice, and ultimately obedience to Him. When He calls us to deny ourselves, this is what it's talking about. We've got to discipline ourselves, we've got to sacrifice, we've got to be obedient to Him. We need a Spirit to help us in doing these things. But it's the first step to truly coming after Jesus. If we're determined, if we've resolved that we are going to come after Him, these are the things that we've got to start to practice. These are the things that He calls us to do. And so we've got to, as He says later in Luke, we've got to strive after these things because for the moment, all discipline seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. But afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. If we will discipline ourselves, if we will sacrifice for the Lord and be obedient to what He calls us to be obedient to, we'll have a peace that nothing can take away. Jumping ahead a little bit, the last bullets here I'll hit. All these things are if you're willing to strive. Strive after them. Really do everything you can because the world has this wide way of going that everybody wants to run to. Life's in my possessions. Life is in all these other things. And sometimes we as Christians get that same thought in our minds and we need to deny those thoughts. Put them aside because that's what's going to change our actions. So if we're going to strive after these things, what is the benefit? Kind of the last bullet on your sheet here. Ultimately, we will be able to be rich toward God. We'll be able to be cheerful because God is able to make all grace abound to you and you'll have everything that you need for every good deed if we will put Him first and deny ourselves. And we can be rich toward God. We won't be worried about, oh, I got a quarter or a nickel I can throw in the plate. Or I got a dollar to throw into the plate. Yeah. When we have a bunch more we could because, I got my bills though, and I got this first and this second and this third and I've got all these things I got to take care of. And at the very end, at the bottom, we'll see what's left for God. Flip it around. The first thing is given to God first. And if we'll deny ourselves and let God be first, we've heard of the idea of 10%, right, tithe. Jesus says you should do that without neglecting the other matters of the law, but do that, tithe, give, 10%. And some people look at 10% and go, man, that's a stretch. Man, you know how much money? That's a lot of money. Are we denying ourselves or not? Or is it thinking, oh, that's all got to be for me? And then you look at that 10%, some look at that and go, well, yeah, that's kind of required. Yeah, I can do that, no problem. Is that all? Maybe God expects much more because you've been given so much more. Talk about paying off the mortgage here. Talk about, trying to maybe bring another intern in. All those things cost money, and we have to have the commitment that we're all really going to come after Jesus if we're going to make these kind of things happen. To grow the body the way God wants us to grow in discipleship and being about putting aside those things that are holding us back. But we can be so rich toward God. And ultimately, we'll have that peace that we keep talking about. In the midst of all the storms of life, the second thing that we'll definitely have is this peace. That peace that transcends understanding. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be rich toward Him, and He wants us to have a peace that the world can't take away. So often we want to take a bunch of things and come into the cross. And we talked about a lot of those things. It's meant to be a little bit of a funny picture, but we want to bring all this stuff and try to fit in at the cross. When what Jesus wants us to do is to shed those things and become more like Him. We have so much baggage we want to take. And He's trying to get us to shed those things that we can truly be free. Because if we'll do these things, we can be transfigured. We can become like Jesus. That's what God is ultimately after, right? He wants us to become like Him. So if we'll do these things, from Luke 9:23, deny ourselves, really focus on what life is, we'll become rich toward God, we'll find peace, we'll become more like Jesus, and ultimately we'll save our life. That's really what He wants for us. So this lesson is really for you and for all of us to save our life. That's what God really wants for us. To have life abundantly. And if there are struggles in your life, any of these things have touched you, we're going to have a song here that we're going to sing. If you need prayers in dealing with these struggles to really deny yourself, ask for prayers. Don't be afraid to do that. Or if you feel like you need to submit it all to God, you've been studying, and you're ready to put the Lord on in baptism, to truly bury that self, put Him in the grave, we can do that as well. Whatever your need, why don't you come as we stand and sing?